All right, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Directors meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get, where's Amy?
Ms. Simpson couldn't be here tonight. She was attending to some family medical stuff.
Oh, okay, so who's our?
I will be acting as both the district administrator and the clerk secretary.
Got it. So, Mr. Clerk Secretary, can we get a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Ray Russom.
Here.
Director Linda Austin.
Here.
Director Karen Bright.
Here. All right, that implies my first name is Ray.
Yeah.
I had to think on that for a minute.
Would you please all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Item 3 is agenda review. Any need to reorganize the agenda this evening?
Nothing here.
No, thank you.
We will proceed as published, and that takes us to public comment. This is item 4. This is the chance for the public to come forward on items not on tonight's agenda. Please confine your comments to 3 minutes or less and address the board as a single body. Would anyone like to come forward? Seeing no one, we'll close public comment and move on to our consent agenda. There are 3 items on this tonight. This is approval of warrants, the approval of meeting minutes of December 7th, 2022, and the approval of the fiscal year ending June 2022 financial audit. Let's check in with the board and see if there are any questions.
I do have one question on item 5C. May I? Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. I'm just wondering about the term of the auditor. Was that designated by the RFQ or RFP? And if so, what is the term, please?
The term is ongoing right now. We annually renew Moss Levy's contract. And so the last time we had a different auditor was for the 2017-18 financials.
Oh, okay.
That does beg an interesting question, doesn't it?
It does.
You want to follow that one up? Or
I'm just wondering if a special district like this is not required to have a term for your auditor, and then you need to go on to another.
I'll have to research that or defer to legal counsel to answer that.
I'm not aware of any requirement that we change things up.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that was my question.
I'm going to think on that while we do. Any questions?
Should we pull 5B for a separate vote? Because I wasn't here to approve the minutes of December 7th.
Director Austin, you don't need to recuse yourself. You can trust and vote that staff has prepared those minutes accurately.
Okay. Then I'm fine.
Sorry, I'm having connection issues. Okay, and so I did not have questions, but I'm going to piggyback Board Member Bright's question. Whether there's maybe this is a veiled comment, I don't know, but I didn't think about it. I knew we were doing the 3 real quick to get kind of back up and running because we had been behind for quite some time, but we're up and running now. And if it was 2017, that's 5 years. I think it's just good practice to kind of go out and look at that now and then, and especially because we can check and make sure that we're getting the most value for what we pay for that, which is part of the purpose of doing that. What are your thoughts on that?
Certainly, it's certainly good practice to go out and to change those auditors to get different sets of eyes on the books. Moss Levy has been relatively affordable in comparison to the previous. With a fraction of the pricing, but with the board's concern and interest, I'm more than happy to put out an RFP and we'll select a new auditor and rotate through another term. Or the same one if they come. Well, I'll have to look and see what the practices are and make a recommendation I think would be most appropriate, because if the intent is to rotate and actually get that fresh set of eyes, it may preclude using the current auditor if we did that.
I see.
Well, I believe that is the code for at least for public agencies, and that is the reason. So I guess it really depends on where we want to go with that. If in fact it's not a regulation or it's not required by this body, then if the board wants to, I guess, direct that we do go out, I don't know. It was just a thought, and I was just reading this earlier this evening, and it just kind of popped in my brain because, of course, it's what I used to do.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
I'm not sure I'm ready to direct that yet. I'd like to hear some more from staff and maybe have some more conversation with you offline about that and kind of I'm certainly willing to entertain it for sure, but I'm not sure I'm ready to move on it.
I'm not either at this point in time. I was just talking for future. So I sit down and make trouble, huh?
No, it's a good question and good advice. I'd like to understand the requirements, the practices, and we definitely want to follow best practices, even if it's not a requirement. If that's what other agencies expect, we're more than happy to use another auditor, and maybe cycle through on a more regular basis and follow someone else's practices, so we don't have to create our own.
How about we direct the future staff item to have a discussion and give you a chance to do your homework on that?
Yeah, that sounds well.
Green.
All right. Yep. Well, then that's all our questions. So let's go ahead and open up public comment. This is I'll open up public comment for hearing items 5A, 5B, and 5C. So if anyone would like to come forward and speak on these items, please do. And seeing no one, will close public comment and bring it back around to the board for commentary and possible action.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, can we get a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Karen Ray Russum?
Here, yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
All right, that takes us to item 6A. This is announcement of rotation in chair and vice chair for the 2023 calendar year.
So, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. As stated, there's an announcement of rotation of chair and vice chair for the 2023 calendar year. It's recommended that the board confirm and announce the rotation of chair and vice chair for the 2023 calendar year in accordance with district bylaws. Section 1 of the district bylaws state that the chair and the vice chair of the board shall be elected annually at the first meeting in January of each calendar year or at the next regular or special meeting if directors have not been timely designated by their respective agencies. The election of chair shall be made in accordance with the following rotation. One would have been the OCSD. Most recently, the chair was the city of Grover Beach. And so now we would be rotating to the chair with the city of Arroyo Grande. And then the section of the bylaws goes on to say the election of the vice chair shall be the person elected to serve as the chair the preceding year. So that would fall to the city of Grover Beach in this rotation. So currently, last year, we had the chair, as I stated, Grover Beach, with the vice chair. I'm looking at my chart here. So that there might be a typo on here. There's not a typo. I was misreading my own chart.
We have a weird rotation where the vice goes to,
So the graph or the table here is correct. So the present officers were in Grover Beach with the vice chair being Oceano. And so now Arroyo Grande, Director Karen Ray Russum will become the chair. Director Karen Bright will become the vice chair, and Director Linda Austin will become a director on the council. And with that completes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Nope.
And this does not require a motion because it's just a function of our bylaws, right?
I'm somewhat, to answer that directly, I've thought about that exact question, and my thought is the bylaws are still just establishing the rotation, and I'll defer to legal counsel, but that you should still, you could actually change it right now at your discretion. You could change the rotation. You could elect somebody else. The main intent for establishing the rotation is how difficult it was to get a nomination without violating the Brown Act, because we could not communicate between either any two members to say, would you take it if somebody nominated you? And so that was the challenge that we were struggling with, and we said, okay, we'll just adopt a rotation. And so this is, from my perspective and from the organization's perspective, this works to get past that motion of who's going to be next. But if your board would like to do something else, I'm not sure that the bylaws dictate that you follow that rotation, is my understanding from some other agencies. So.
I also, before you weigh in there, Keith, I do remember a piece of this was going back to when this board was a mess and there was a political piece to rotating the chair and a blockage of the chair. So that we wanted to make it more automatic to avoid those issues going forward. And I know Linda knows exactly what I'm talking about. So with that.
It would probably be wise to confirm the rotation that's in your bylaws with a motion and a vote. That way you can elect what the bylaws require.
Okay. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay, then we'll open it up to public comment before we take a vote on this. So would anyone like to come forward on item 6A? And seeing no one, I'll close public comment, bring it back to us for a nomination.
Are we just approving staff's...
Or a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve staff's recommendation.
I second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Vice Chair Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
All right. So item 6B is our district administrator and plant operations report. Gosh, it took us a long time to get here.
I know, right? We're still working on our... Michael and I have a bet on the time. Zeke made us pick a time. So sorry, I digress. I'm trying to get closer to my time.
I can help you with that.
The over under.
Yeah. It's close. It's a tight window. Jeremy Gent, district administrator. I'm trying to do a presentation at the same time. I wanted to share these pictures, but I can't access some of my staff reports. So what I'll do first is I'll run through the photos that are in the PowerPoint since they're presented behind us. So the photos really are illustrating the storm event and then the post-storm event. And I wanted to take a minute to recognize some staff at the same time. So on January 9th, we had a major rainfall event, caused substantial flooding throughout the county. Several wastewater spills at other agencies. And we were fortunate. Michael and the staff worked well into the night. Michael didn't leave the plant until 2 a.m. But we had higher than average flows, or higher than our design flows are expected to be delivered at the plant, but the plant was able to pass those flows through and without spills and without any violations. The first picture on the left here is right outside the plant. This is a roadside ditch, and it ties to the Meadow Creek Lagoon, and the lagoon backs up and eventually kind of floods these lower-lying houses in Aloha and Honolulu, these two streets. If you look over to the right, that's a CMC crew delivering sandbags, and that truck located there, that's actually the sanitation district's flatbed. We actually had, the county was struggling to get a 4x4 flatbed, which we have, so we offered that and provided some mutual aid services to the county, which we're being reimbursed for. The next morning after the event, I went out and inspected the north side of the levee that protects the sanitation district. And the photo on the left there, that's standing in the Taylor Ag Field looking at the levee. And that whole, that failure there, there was about 12 of them like this. This was probably in the top three of the worst ones. And this is called a boil. It's a fail. Water is making it through the levee in this case and actually coming out. And it's almost certainly tied to ground squirrel activity in the levee. It's a known problem. The county combats ground squirrels at other sections of the levee, but they have never implemented any type of pest control on this section of levee, and so they'll be looking to do that. If we move to the right, it's actually that same section of levee, and you can see they're actually working to line some of those boils. You can see the plastic there on the left side, and they were putting plastic and gabion rock to try to prevent from the next rainfall that was coming as a temporary repair and working into the better weather on more permanent repairs. Also, that picture on the right, that front end loader that's on the levee delivering sandbags, that's operated by Sanitation District Operator Chris Rigoni, and that is our front end loader as well. Moving on, this is again just back up closer to the plant. We have the CMC crew loading sandbags onto the Sanitation District flatbed. And again, a different angle of Mr. Rigoni making a delivery of sandbags where they're installing protection on the north side of the levee. Photo here, this is after the storm and after the king tide. It might be a little bit hard to pick out what we're seeing here, but this is the Arroyo Grande Creek is now going straight to the ocean. It used to make a hard left turn when it hit the beach and went south for almost 3/4 of a mile before it made it to the ocean, and which caused low-lying flooding both along the Meadow Creek Lagoon, the way the two lagoon systems work. So this breach will provide benefit. The residents and the Sand District by allowing Meadow Creek Lagoon to drain faster by having this direct breach out to the ocean. And then on the right, this is actually Saturday. We got a call, County OES called, and they were trying to get sandbags for Five Cities Fire Authority. And so we, again, had, this is Operator Chris Rigoni, loaded up sandbags for Five Cities Fire, and I think these went to Five Cities Fire and were also delivered to the Oceano Community Services District for members of the public to use for the secondary rain that was coming after the January 9th rain. And then this is just a photo that on the South Levee, a couple days after I was driving over there to take a look at the repairs on the South Levee, and I came across these five vultures just finally getting dry. It was the first day of sunshine, and so it had been wet, and you can just imagine they've been soaked the whole time, but it was a pretty cool picture. And so with that, let me get back to my administrator's report so I can run through that.
I was wondering why you were showing us that particular one. I thought they were coming after the ground squirrels.
They've been feasting on all the dead squirrels. There's been a lot of vulture activity over there.
So a couple reports. Redundancy project, it remains on schedule and on budget. Our excavation and dewatering is complete. Everything's out of the ground now. Staff and the contractor have been coordinating and scheduling training on the new equipment, and that's been taking a lot of staff's time as we have to still do our regular jobs and be trained on all the new equipment. So I'd like to thank staff for making time and attending those various trainings. I think I ran through the storm event by going through the pictures there, and so I'll kind of skip past that right up on the storm event. Oh, I just lost my space here. First time I try to not do hard copies, and then I realize another challenge. But Yeah, I was just taking a quick look at the bullet points for the storm event, and I think I touched on all those. And with that, it concludes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions your board might have.
I have a quick question regarding the picture that's up there. Maybe next time you do that, I would have loved to have had the opportunity to come down and say thank you to staff, since that's an appreciation kind of thing as a board member. So maybe next year, I don't need to be bought lunch or anything like that, but that looks to me like that's in my city, and I certainly could have popped over and said thanks and to everyone. So I would have loved the opportunity to do that.
Point noted, and we'll extend an invitation. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
No, I just want to thank you, the staff and everyone so much for all the hard work during that, the 9th and the 10th. And it was really great to see everybody working together. The county and OCSD had a lot to do with all the, yeah, so it was really something to be proud of. Thank you.
Any questions or comments?
I'll just echo those sentiments. And please, if you would see that those who need to hear it do, greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Michael.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm reporting the plant operations report for the period of December 1st through January 25th. During this reporting period, the district's facility met its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit. We have some monthly plant data for December 2022 and January 2023. Again, plant data continues to be well within permit limitations. If you do look at some of those data points, our influent flow has risen quite a bit in comparison to the previous year, and that's just due to the extensive rainfall that we've received the past couple months. Some operation and maintenance tasks are as follows. Operations staff built and installed new air relief valves for influent pumps, cleaned out our polymer pumping system. Operations staff met to discuss midnight shutdown to allow a redundancy project contractor to perform electrical tie-in, checked and marked underground service alerts, performed midnight shutdown for electrical tie-in of temporary generator. We fabricated and installed new reclaimed water strainer basket in the influent pump room. We replaced blown centrifuge auger fuses, performed midnight shutdown for the electrical tie-in of new permanent utility power. We installed the new battery trickle charger on our emergency bypass pump, performed weed abatement throughout the treatment facility. We test ran multiple pieces of maintenance equipment to ensure proper operation, repaired broken pressure gauge feed pipe on our fixed film reactor pump number one, cleaned up the treatment facility maintenance shop, drained rainwater out of secondary containments throughout treatment facility. We replaced our 1-inch ball valve on our FFR water line. Excuse me. Continuing on, we installed a new ground fault circuit interrupter for our ISCO sampler. We loaned 1 tote of sodium bisulfite and 1 tote of sodium hypochlorite to assist the City of Pismo's wastewater treatment plant. The City of Pismo wastewater treatment plant has returned those totes. We assisted San Luis Obispo County with the levee repairs. We drained one primary clarifier at a time for inspection, disposed of our old plant hoses. We prepared old plant equipment for recycling and disposal. Creative Fence installed a new front automatic gate. We performed a fixed film reactor flush. We drained and rinsed the first 4 channels of our chlorine contact tank, and then performed a confined space entry into our chlorine contact tank to repair the drain valve. Staff also completed a multitude of work orders and some preventative maintenance. Some training staff participated on was on the new underground service alert notification program, our hazard material business plan and spill prevention control and countermeasures, and Eaton electrical systems and equipment training. We did have some call-outs on December 8th. We had a power failure. Operations staff responded and found our temporary generator inoperable. Operations staff notified the redundancy project contractor of the failure, and the contractor responded and got the temporary generator back up and running. The treatment facility was on the district's emergency generator while temporary generator was down. On December 10th, we had another power failure. Operations staff responded and verified plant operation on our emergency generator. A utility power failure was due to a downed power line. Operation staff remained on site until power was restored at approximately 1:30 a.m. January 3rd, we had an high ORP alarm. Operation staff responded and verified operation of the district's disinfection system. The high alarm was due to heavy flows from rainfall causing a slug of flow through the treatment facility. The disinfection system was operating nominally and no more callouts were received. On January 9th, we had a high ORP alarm. Operation staff responded and verified operation of the high flows through the treatment facility. The disinfection system was operating nominally given the higher flows. And then on January 19th, we had another high ORP alarm. Operation staff responded and verified operation of the district's disinfection system. The high alarm was due to plant flows returning to normal after filling primary clarifier number 2. The disinfection was operating nominally and returned to normal. Just a little more on that. So what happens is when we add chlorine to our disinfection system, we add sodium bisulfite to counteract that, and that reaction is instant. So when we get a slug of flow through, sometimes we get high flows and it takes some time for the actual bisulfite pump to react. So once it starts reading that higher value, it takes time for the output to the pump to get up to, say, 100%. So you'll get when we have those higher flows, sometimes we get those slugs, and it just takes time for that pump to react. But as soon as that pump reacts, it's almost instantaneous, and then that ORP value drops. So we have a certain set point. When that value gets over, we get a call out. We receive a call out.
So when you say slug, to me, that's like a bullet thing, and it's this physical blockage. But I'm guessing that means more like sluggish.
Like a heavy flow.
Heavy
flow. So you receive a heavy flow that pushes out, say, a higher load of chlorinated effluent, and then it takes time for the bisulfite to react. So it's reading that higher level of chlorine, and then it takes time for that bisulfite pump to react. Even though the pump is reacting as fast as it can, it still takes time. So if I were to show you a chart of the reaction, it's literally it goes up and then it goes back down because it's reacting the way it should. But because of those slug flows, it's not reacting fast enough to get it kind of before it happens.
So just to clarify, listen, and to try to do it more in lay terms a little bit, the bisulfite is used to remove the chlorine. And so at the end of the process, we inject that bisulfite. And if our sensor says there's still chlorine in there, and Michael's talking about this reaction time, we'll get an alarm because we can't send chlorinated effluent to the ocean. But what happens is further down the channel, it is catching it and we're not violating, but we're getting these alarms whenever we have high inflow events. And so when he's talking about a slug, he's talking about a slug of water that shows up at the plant that's higher than normal for that time of day. And so it creates these weird disinfection as it's moving through the disinfection channel. It's coming through faster. And so when that bisulfite has to take a little bit of time to ramp up to deliver more chemical, sometimes it'll slip above our set value, and the guys will get called out because the chlorine level is too high. When he says ORP, that's oxidation reduction potential, and that's the ability of the chlorine to disinfect the water. And so that's what they're worried about, is that there's chlorine residual that we're sending to the ocean, and so that's what they're responding to.
Thank you, Jeremy.
The ORP was
Oxidation reduction potential, Michael?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Moving on, the Air Pollution Control District visited the treatment plant. They performed a site visit to ensure the district was meeting its APCD permit requirements. There were no findings or violations to report from the visit. The severe storm event Jeremy touched on that occurred on January 9th. So I just want to just move on to the notice of violation enforcement. On January 18th, 2023, the district received an expedited payment letter This expedited payment letter is a conditional offer to participate in the expedited payment program from the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. The conditional offer is for the settlement of the non-serious violations that occurred on April 23, 2021 and May 5, 2021. The district has been assessed a total mandatory minimum penalty in the amount of $6,000. The district has accepted the conditional offer to participate in the expedited payment program. By accepting the offer, the district will avoid the issuance of a formal enforcement action and settle the alleged violations identified in the notice of violation. In addition, acceptance of the offer waives the district's right to a hearing, and the district must pay the mandatory minimum penalty as indicated in the notice of violation. The Central Coast Water Board will accept the payment and settlement of any enforcement action that would otherwise arise out of the violations identified in the notice of violation. The Central Coast Water Board enforcement staff will forego issuance of a formal administrative complaint, will not refer the violations to the Attorney General, and will waive its right to seek additional discretionary civil liabilities for the violations identified in the notice of violation. The 2022 non-serious violations for May 19, 2022, July 14, 2022, and July 20th, 22 have all expired. For non-serious, also known as chronic violations, we are subject to a mandatory minimum penalty of $3,000 each when four or more occur in any period of 6 consecutive months. The period commencing on the date that one of the violations occurs and ending 180 days after that date. The first three violations in that period are not assessed a mandatory minimum penalty. The district will not be assessed a penalty for the exceedances that occurred in 2022. All three exceedances have expired and will not count against the district. Currently, the district is carrying no violations. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
I have a quick one. Mm-hmm. Going back to this terrifying statement you made a little earlier, performed confined space entry into CCT to repair drain valve, what was that?
So staff, we perform quarterly flushes of our trickling filter, and then following that, we clean out our CCT. So we actually drain 4 channels. And rinse down any gunk that settles down at the bottom. The drain valve actually failed, so what we had to do is set up a pump to pump it out, but we're able to isolate it. So staff goes in.
Like they crawl into the pipe?
It's not a pipe. It's an open channel.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's an open serpentine channel.
You're in confined space. No, expecting somebody went in and okay.
No. It's an open serpentine channel, so nobody had to crawl.
The thing
crawl
Aaron
into
thought
pipe.
Was exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was gonna thank whoever that was, but yeah. That wasn't as terrifying as it sounded to me. Any other questions?
Did you have a question?
I do.
Go ahead. Yeah,
thank you. And this is more, I guess, for clarification and trying to familiarize myself with some of this stuff. On the charts that give information on the monthly plant data for December 2022 and January 2023, the chlorine usage per day looks in January was quite high. And I'm just wondering. I now know that we actually put chlorine in, but can you just talk about that a little bit?
So we use chlorine as a disinfectant, deactivates the bacteria. It oxidizes the cell of the bacteria so it doesn't reproduce. It's not capable of reproducing. We do use a little more chlorine than we have previously since we've installed a new dechlorination diffuser. Which operates better, and in the past we've had issues with fecal coliform exceedances, and so we do typically run a higher chlorine residual, so we dose more chlorine now that we have a better dechlorination system, and that's just to counteract the fecal coliform bacteria, and then also we've had extensive rain events. We have higher flows. You need to dose more chlorine to perform the disinfection process.
I see. So we add it, then we take it out.
Yes.
Okay.
So we add it at the head of the chlorine contact tank. It's allowed about, depending on flows, let's just say an hour. It's allowed an hour to contact the flow, And then at the end of the chlorine contact tank, we add sodium bisulfite, which instantly kills the chlorine, for lack of a better word, dechlorinates, and then it goes and continues out to our outfall.
Thank you. My second question was answered, and that was, what is ORP? So yeah, that I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
I do have a quick on the non-serious violations. I didn't quite understand what expired means, and you said they're normally a $3,000 each, but there's no charge. Can you just explain it, what that means?
So we had three non-serious violations that occurred in 2022. Had we had a fourth violation, that would constitute a mandatory minimum. So we're allowed three non-serious violations. Once we get that fourth, that's when we
We
would have gotten fined.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, that is a receive and file. So let's see if the public has any questions or comments about the District Administrator Plant Operations Report. So I'll open public comment. And seeing none, we'll close public comment. Again, it's a receive and file. Item 7 is board member communications. Any communications, Ms. Bright?
No, thank you.
Any communications?
No, none from me.
Nor none from I. So that takes us to item 8, closed session. And I'll turn it over to our district attorney. And they're not a district attorney, but you know what I mean.
And, district council.
To announce.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board will now convene into closed session to discuss two items as listed on the agenda. Conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.91 case, and public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code 54957B, title Plant Superintendent.
All right, and with that, we will adjourn to closed session.